It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 295, entitled Panic at Home, Joy in the Studio. It was recorded on Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Taco Verdenschott, by Cameron Jones, and by Marcus Burnett. It's a WordPress podcast, so we, you know, talk about WordPress. We talk about all of the improvements that have been experienced in the performance of WordPress 6.5, not just the speed of your website, but how sustainable it is as well. We also talk about the idea of making sure that if plugins break when updating, they will individually be rolled back to keep your website safe if you've got auto updates switched on. The Page Builder Summit is back. It's happening from the 20th to the 24th of May 2024. You can go and get your free ticket. Accessibility Day, the WordPress Accessibility Day, is looking for speakers. WordCamp Asia has released all of their videos. And WordPress Whitley Bay is also looking for speakers as well. We have a very, very long conversation all about a new product from WordPress.com called Studio. It's an environment which enables you to develop websites locally and then push them with a single button over to WordPress.com. It's really very interesting indeed. There's a whole load of other things that we talk about as well, and it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. That's wrong. I don't think we're on episode number 295. I think it's 296. I could be wrong. Let's go with what it says on the screen. It's This Week in WordPress, episode number 29X. You decide what episode we're on, but we're on some large number of episodes. That was fun. I started the countdown on the video just then, and then suddenly a minor family crisis occurred. And I've spent exactly 1 minute and 18 seconds out of the 120 seconds trying to fight a fire.
Oh, perfect timing, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd managed to just hit the return key on the appropriate response just at the exact right moment. Lovely to have you with us. As you can see, we're joined by three fabulous guests, as always. We'll start over here. We'll start with Taco. How are you doing, Taco?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's really nice to have Taco back. Taco used to be on like really rather a lot. And I know that commitments over at Yoast meant that, you know, schedules and meetings moved around. And so it's an absolute pleasure when you finally managed to come back. If you don't know of Taco, here is what he has to say. Taco is the head of relations at Yoast, GTE for Dutch, community supporter on the WP community team, co-organizer of the WordPress meetup in, I'm going to try it, Nijmegen. Former WordCamp organizer, and it says, stop it, Taco. You wrote that into your bio. Stop it, Taco. Okay. You're just trying to make your bio as long as Michelle's. Anyway, he's the father of two and a husband of one, and he sometimes struggles to balance his work and family life. Online, you can find him at Taco Verdo, TACOVERDO, on most platforms. Well, an absolute pleasure to have you with us. Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're lovely. Very, very welcome. And over there is Cameron Jones, all the way from Australia, where it's stupid o'clock. What time, Cameron?
It is 10:35 p.m.
That goes above and beyond. I owe you a biscuit or some equivalent small prize for coming on. Next time I see you, I'll buy you a round of beers. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I think you might have bought me a drink at WordCamp Europe last year.
I feel I completely exonerated that responsibility in that case. I owe you nothing. come on this show every week at this hour. But it's a pleasure having you on. I'm going to read Cameron's bio, and then I'll do Marcus's, and then I'll come back to Cameron because he's got some exciting news, actually. Cameron Jones hails from Victoria Harbour, Australia, where he runs, and this is it, Shorty Designs, a web development agency. He is also the maintainer of the official WordPress plugin for the free donation platform, Ko-fi. You can find him at Cameron Jones Web on most platforms. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be right back. But before then, we have to mention Marcus. How are you, Marcus?
I'm good. I am up as the time of the day, 9 a.m.
And I've got to say, Marcus, you're sporting a highly nice camera there. Something about the lighting and everything, it's radiant.
I tweaked my setup a little bit last week.
Yeah, it's
giving
nice.
Giving it a go.
Whatever you did, it's definitely working. Well, Cameron Burnett is a WordPress community enthusiast, web designer and developer, amateur photographer and podcast host. Marcus is the... Did I just say Cameron?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I feel bad now. Okay, I'm going to start it again.
It's a good name. Cameron.
Marcus, you know when you do something and then your brain like catches up about 3 seconds later? That's what happened there. I thought, hang on, something was wrong there. Marcus Burnett is a WordPress community enthusiast, web designer and developer, amateur photographer and podcast host. He's also the creator of the WP World, WP AI Universe, WP Photostats, and a few other WordPress plugins. He is a WordPress photo directory moderator with the fourth highest number of contributed photos. His biggest weakness is that he cares too much, and his middle name is Cameron. It isn't actually really.
I'll change it while the show is
going. Yeah, while the show's going on. Thank you for joining us. If you are coming in on the, you know, the live feed and all that kind of stuff, really appreciate your participation. The more comment that people have, the more fun the show tends to be. I don't know why that is. It just seems to go that way. It's very nice to have a few of you joining us.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to say that with a comment that just came in though.
Yeah. However, some comments are better than others. Good morning, team, says Mark Westgaard. That was a dig at Mark Westgaard, he'll cope because he's very good at sarcasm. Maya is waving a hand, or it comes to us hand pink waving. Unfortunately, the little emoji doesn't come across. Hello from sunny Belgrade. Very, very nice to have you with us. Birgit's joining us. Good afternoon from Germany. Rob Cairns, who I was on a call with on Friday. That was nice, Rob. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Mark is back. 295. Thank you. Great. Yeah. Last week was 294. That's about the ability of my maths at one. So good evening, everyone, says Marcus Burnett. And you see, just comedy all the way.
Told you so.
Comedy all the way. And web friendly web guy. It's almost like he's not done a podcast before. He really is like that. And here he is, the much anticipated comment from Peter Ingersoll. He drops in every week to give us the weather report from Connecticut. Good morning from a mostly sunny Connecticut, where it's a nice 20 degrees centigrade, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. It may get up to 27 degrees centigrade or 80 today. I love that. I don't know why that's so great, but it really is. Thank you, Peter. Something about pizzas from Rob Cairns and so much fun, Nathan, as well. Well, thank you. Okay, we're going to be talking about WordPress. There's quite a few bits and pieces, some fairly exciting things dropped this week, and a fair bit of news and other bits and pieces. So we will crack on with that. The first thing, though, as always, is a self-promotion. I hope you don't mind. The first one is this. This is our website. If you like what we do and you'd like to be kept in touch with all the bits and pieces that we do, just pop your name in there. Actually, don't. Put your email in there. That'll work way better. Put your email in there and then click this subscribe button, and then we'll send you a couple of emails each week just to say what we've produced. There's really no spam. And some highly exciting news. We've had GoDaddy's Pro as a sponsor for a really, really long time, and I am enormously grateful for their contribution. So thank you, GoDaddy Pro. It's been many years helping us keep this podcast on the air. But I'm happy to announce that we've been joined by Bluehost as well. And Taco's doing some kind of fun dancing thing over there. So yeah. So thank you to Bluehost for joining us. They'll be there. They'll be here for a while to come, but I appreciate their support. So thank you both to GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost. The other thing that I want to mention is that I did a webinar this week with a chap called Matthias Pfeffele, who is an automatician, but he's behind the ActivityPub protocol, which connects things like Mastodon to your WordPress website. And we went through the state of play with that plugin at the moment. And honestly, it's really exciting and really cool. You can have your WordPress website as like an entity on Mastodon. So if you create a post, it'll create a post on Mastodon. If people reply on Mastodon, it all comes in as comments on your WordPress post. And so literally your website is a person, if you like, on Mastodon. And it's just very, very cool. And he's got a lot of new and fresh ideas for that as well. So go and check that out. If you go to our archives and go to the demos archive, then you can watch that. It was about an hour, something like that, but it was genuinely highly engaging and really interesting what they're up to. Okay, right, back to Cameron then. Cameron, before we crack on with this, what's your exciting news?
Well, my exciting news is that, I have a nice little new byline there. I have recently acquired a web design agency called Shorty Designs. They've been around since I was in high school, which is terrifying. They were like a sponsor of the very first WordCamp I went to, and as you know, the universe aligned, I'm now running it. So, yeah,
awesome. Can I ask? Obviously, you're really excited about it. Do you also, in all seriousness, do you also have like a lot of work to do here, or is it more just like drop in and run with what's going, or is there a boatload of things for you to do now?
There is a boatload of things to do. I'm working a lot of hours at that moment.
And how did it come about then? How did you collaborate with this and decide to take it over?
It's a long story, more or less it was going to shut down. And then it was kind of offered that, like, oh, if you want, you could take it over. And like, I'd already been working with them as it was, so worked out pretty well. That's the very short, you know, version of it. But yeah.
Oh, it's exciting. Congratulations, though. A nice new chapter in your life. And obviously, you know, from myself and I'm sure from the other two guests on the show, congratulations. And, you know, we wish you well. I hope that it doesn't completely take over your life. I know that you're an avid sportsman, so, you know, make time for that. But don't injure yourself. That's all I'm going to say. He's laughing because, well, anyway.
Are you implying something there, Nathan?
Yeah, I am. But we'll leave that between us. Okay, right, let's crack on with the bits and pieces. So, this piece came around on the make.wordpress.org core blog the other day, and it was Joe McGill a couple of days ago saying all about the WordPress 6.5 performance improvements. Now, I don't know if you've been following along, but the performance team have been going for, I don't know, a couple of years now, something a bit more than that, perhaps. And each time that WordPress rolls around, we seem to have a lot of features coming in, and the team are basically saying, despite all of that, despite the fact that there's loads more features coming in, we seem to be keeping up. The last little iteration, there were areas where things went backwards a little bit because of new features added in, but on the whole, it was broadly in line. So they've speeded it up over the last several years, and they've managed to keep it going. And here's the key things. Key performance for translated sites. We'll come to one of those a little bit later. This version of WordPress includes a new localization system that loads translation files more quickly. Won't go into the technical details. And it's expected to bring a 23.5% improvement in loading times and a 41.4% reduction in memory consumption for translations. Now, I've got to say, I don't get involved with translations for more or less anything, but I'm imagining that if you do, it's a bit of a headache, and there's a lot of, you know, waiting around and consuming your CPU cycles and all that. So hopefully that's good. The editing experience has got faster. Well,
Nathan, to reply to that, I think that if you look at how many non-US English installs of WordPress there are, and then imagine that this is quicker for all of those sites. It means that we're saving forests instead of trees. This, the optimization here is enormous, because I think it's over half the WordPress sites that are in non-US English, which means that all of them are loading translations, and some of them are even loading multiple. So it definitely will be visible on the power consumption of the web if you're monitoring that.
Do you know, this is really interesting, right, Techo? Because honestly, about an hour ago, I was editing a podcast with a chap from Spain called Naoi Badiola. I don't know if you know him, but he created a podcast series called Sustain WP, and he's got it as part of his persona now. And one of the things that he wants to make of his life is to talk about the environmental impact of not just WordPress, but the web in general. And I was saying, what fascinates me about that posture and about the fact that you, Taco, have related performance to the environment, these pieces don't. It's never written in that way. It's never written as the performance has improved, there's less CO2 going into the air and less trees getting chopped down. It's always in terms of speed. And until Naoi had said it, as ignorant as it may sound, I hadn't made the connection in my own mind. I hadn't connected performance with CO2 reductions. And he came out with this breathtaking statistic. And it was that a chap whose name I've forgotten, who has a plugin which connects MailChimp to WordPress, it's got over 2 million installs. Mm-hmm. He chopped 20 kilobytes out of his plugin, 20K. And he's been able to work out that he saved tons of CO2, actual car weight amounts of CO2 from chopping 20 kilobytes out. And I mean, 20 kilobytes is just nothing. You know, if you imagine every time you put an image on your website, what you're doing. And so, Taco, thank you for making that point. And I think it's something which gets ignored all the time and yet really, really important.
Yeah, I really think that every website owner should visit websitecarbon.com at least once every so many months to see how they're doing compared to similar sites and see what it means that they have their website up and running.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they have a website that gets some traction and see what that does to the environment.
Yeah. So I guess what we are now saying is, not only are these performance improvements that we're seeing on the screen good because they make your site quicker and that experience is less frustrating, but also that they're chopping down the amount of carbon that's going into the atmosphere. And it might be kind of interesting if these pieces made that point. And I don't know that they ever do, but that's kind of interesting. Okay, to carry on with this, and then we'll get Cameron and Marcus to chip in. The editing experience in 6.5 is apparently 5 times faster for typing. I don't quite know what that means. It's not like I suddenly became significantly better at typing, but it says typing processing. So I'm not really sure what that is. 2 times faster for the editor to load. And I've definitely noticed that. And a 60% reduction in the loading time for, click on a button to drop in a pattern, and a pattern appears and is ready to go. And also support for AVIF images. I don't know if you follow this, but AVIF is a new-ish format, and I think it's probably destined with WebP just to become the way we do images for the next, several years. Up to 50% smaller file size than a JPEG with no noticeable change in quality. There are a few other bits and pieces in there as well, but they're the top line items. So Cameron, Marcus, either of you, if you've got anything you want to add, just go for it. Okay.
I guess it, I don't use the full site editing experience, which is where a lot of the recent improvements have come to WordPress in recent versions. So it's good to see that other parts of WordPress are still being worked on and still being improved. And, there's still things in it that are coming and being worked on that are, relevant to people like me, and not just people like me, you know, the people who still use Divi and WP Bakery and all that, you know, it's good to see that it's not just the one area that's being worked on.
I obviously, as you know, I speak to quite a lot of WordPressers. That is basically now my job, is to talk to other
WordPressers.
I know.
Never would have guessed that.
Yeah. And this thing, this whole performance team thing, comes up more often than it ought to, if you know what I mean. Just like any other team, everybody seems to love the performance team. Everybody seems to love the fact that this is now a thing and that they're making WordPress kind of like, there's a conversation that you can have with the enterprise at that scale, you know, when they come back to you with the WordPress is slow. Hang on a minute. Wait. No. Maybe it was, but it's definitely getting better. Marcus, anything, or shall we crack on?
Yeah, I think I would echo what Cameron was saying. I also don't use the full site editing experience for most things. And so when I look at what's new, you know, performance wise or feature wise or anything else, you know, 90% of it currently is new blocks, new full site editing features. And so I kind of file it away in my head as something that I know that, you know, I need to have back there, but I'm not probably going to use it anytime soon. But it's nice to see that improvements are made in the admin interface, because that still touches, you know, everybody that's using WordPress. The AVIF image stuff is as well. We'll have to figure out how that shakes out with WebP seems to have gotten the early lead on on market share. So see what comes of AVIF and adding that to sites and stuff. But yeah. Like Cameron said, like I'll look at the performance stuff and see what's going on, but a lot of it is full site editing experience, so I kind of file that away for later.
Okie dokie. All right then. Okay, well, let's draw a line under that one, but bravo, the performance team. Thank you very much indeed. Let's move on to this one. Honestly, this would have been so not of interest to me as a story until this morning, and then it suddenly did become of interest to me. This, well, not no interest, but here we go. Quite an exciting development. So a proposal to roll back auto-updated plugins. Again, it's on make.wordpress.org. And I'll just paraphrase Andy. Is his name Fragan or Fragan? I don't know how to say his name.
I believe it's Fragan.
Okay, we'll go with Fragan. Andy Fragan, who wrote this on the 19th of April. And he's essentially proposing a mechanism whereby if your website is auto-updating plugins, it will be able to detect in the future that a certain plugin has failed, or during the process, something about that update has conflicted in a way that has ground your site to a halt, giving you a white screen of death or something like that. And the idea, which is explained in this, is how that might happen. And it goes into sort of the technicalities of what happens it behind the scenes in WordPress when you click like an update and how all of that takes place. But a really simple idea would be that, okay, we spot that there's a problem. We roll it back to the version that was on the site before we did the update. And then we send you some sort of notification to say, okay, this has happened. And then you can go and obviously sort of take a look for yourself. He says, the biggest risk for a site owner when updating plugins is encountering a PHP fatal error that crashes the website, while core updates are protected by automatic rollbacks. Since 3.7, no such protection was added for plugins. Ideally, WordPress should be able to recover in the same way that Core does. And then he says, to further protect websites and increase confidence in automatic plugin updates within WordPress, the rollback auto update feature plugin aims to detect PHP fatal errors during automatic plugin updates and subsequently rolls back to the previously installed versions. When I said that this was of no interest to me, what I meant by that was it has been literally years. Honestly, 3 years since a plugin update did anything unexpected on any site. And then this morning, I got a white screen of death from a plugin that got updated. I won't go into it, but it happened. I had a backup, so I just rolled the backup, which was fine. But if that had been on an automatic thing, rather than me clicking buttons, I would have been in jeopardy. My site would have gone down and, you know, it's Monday morning, I've got things to do. So I would have probably put that to the back burner until a bit later. But I just think this is a really neat idea. So over to you, team. What do you reckon?
This feels like it falls in the bucket of why haven't we done this already?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Why are we waiting until now? This feels like the sort of use case that you would have gone through when you added auto updates to WordPress. You know, what happens if something goes awry? I personally have like a mental list of which plugins I feel safe turning auto updates on for and which ones I prefer to manually update and make sure nothing breaks. This would cut that list in half, the list of plugins that I'm not sure about, you know?
Oh,
at the very least.
So you go into your sites and there's a few that you just sort of pick out because for reasons in your own mind.
Sure.
You trust that one, you trust that one. So you turn auto update on for them and a bunch of them you just don't because you're not
entirely. Yeah, the more complex ones that kind of take over your whole site, I tend to want to manually do those things, like maybe a WooCommerce or something, especially something as critical as that, where it goes down, you lose money. I want to have a little bit more hands-on approach to something like that. But honestly, I would feel safe turning that on for WooCommerce if I knew that auto update rollback was going to catch something. If it, you know, were to go down, that it would just roll back to the previous version for me. So really that list of plugins that I don't feel safe doing automatically, I would feel safe doing if I knew that it would just roll back if something were to go wrong.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that in many cases the plugin causing the white screen of death, I say many cases, I've no data to back that up, but will be because of a cocktail of other plugins on your website. There'll be some conflict between several things, and so the plugin itself might be fine in 99% of the cases, but in this one particular, you know, version on your website where there's all these things going on, it fails. And so to have everybody rolling across the whole globe in this way, you know, everything's on auto update and we'll just take care of the ones that go wrong. That's good for just the security of the web in general, you know, especially around security updates and patching and things like that. So that closes that loop for you, Marcus. If that worked, you'd feel confident just auto updating everything and just assume that technology would save you bacon. Okay. Interesting. Cameron, Taco?
Go ahead, Cameron.
Yeah. Okay. I don't trust auto updates at all. And like, it frustrates me that the position of the WordPress project seems to be, you should have auto updates on because, well, you'll get security immediately. And that's true. But like, also when the automatic updates take your site down, then, you know, you could kill businesses with it. You know, like if your site's broken, then doesn't matter whether it's secure or not, it's useless. So yeah, it's, yeah, one of those things that, like, yeah, it's good to see. And, you know, yeah, like Marcus, I, you know, could almost feel comfortable turning auto updates on to an extent. Yeah, I don't know if I would yet or not, but
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
it's one of those things that would be a prerequisite for me to be comfortable turning it on.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you'd consider it if that was implemented, but until that was implemented, it's not even an option. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, that's,
you know, I get alerts for like critical security updates. Like, a lot of the vulnerabilities that there are around tend to be not particularly easy to like exploit, or, you know, there's lots that's like, you know, administrator plus vulnerabilities, or, you know, phishing links. It's like, it's risky, but, you know, the actual probability of it being exploited is relatively low. So the actual, you know, number of critical ones like is very low, and when that does happen, I get emails from WordFence or whatever telling me that they are, and I can go and fix the ones that have it. So, yeah, the benefits of having auto updates on for those edge cases of the, you know, actual serious vulnerabilities, as opposed to, you know, an auto update that I haven't been able to vet just taking down a site, is, you know, the cons have always outweighed the pros.
Interesting.
For me. So,
yeah.
Maybe, and it's like features like this, like they're kind of like backups, you know, you don't know you need it until you really, really need it. Yeah. Like you found out today that, you know, like sometimes plugin updates take down sites. Like it happens.
Yeah.
And you know, you're scrambling when you know you don't have a feature like this. And it happens. So like, yeah, it's good to see. You know, I'm also a little surprised that it hasn't got into core before now.
Yeah.
But I have seen that they've been making incremental steps to get here. Like, you know, in previous versions, you know, they introduced like if you activated a plugin that errored, then it wouldn't activate. And they, when you use the file editor inside of WordPress, if you wrote some errant code, it wouldn't save and that sort of thing. So I've like, it's been coming. And you can see the steps they've taken to get there. But yeah, it's good that it's finally coming along.
One of the things that I think is quite nice about this is that if you're like, let's say that you just had automatic updates switched on at the minute, and what happened to me this morning happened, I wouldn't know which plugin had done it. I'd just know that a plugin had done it. And then it'd be me going in and like, okay, disable all of them, then put them all back on one at a time or something akin to that. Whereas this, the intention from this, and I forget, I think this was in the article, was that it will know. So it'll obviously, you know, it'll update them one at a time, figure out that was the one, and then it will notify you. I think email to the site admin is what I seem to remember from the article. And it would tell you which one. So not only is your site
recovery
rescued,
mode that tells you which one it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not only is your site rescued, but you know where to go looking as a first point of call. So again, all really nice. Taco, anything on that?
So the interesting thing is I'm on the complete opposite side of the spectrum from Cameron. None of the sites that I manage, and that's because I don't manage Yoast.com, are relevant whatsoever. If they're down for a week, they're down for a week. Someone's probably going to notice in a week or two. It's local sports clubs. It's not really relevant. So the risk of auto updates is so incredibly low that I rather have those auto updates fail on me once a year than have to log in to a website and manually do those updates because no one really visits the sites anyway. We're talking like a few hundred visits a month. So I'm a big fan of auto updating, and every once in a while breaks and then I'll fix it, which is less work than going in and updating all the things manually. And also because I'm not a developer, there's no way for me to know. I mean, I don't review an available update. I can look at the code and go like, yep, looks like code. There's no value in me looking at it before installing it. So either it breaks and I have to manually roll it back, or it breaks and I have to manually roll it back, but then a week later. It doesn't matter. I don't lose anything from not having these websites online for a week.
So your relationship with WordPress and the kind of sites that you're building, you know, if you've got one website and that's all you're taking care of and it's your own and you're in there every day, maybe auto updates are fine. But obviously Cameron's now got a different hat with an agency and all of that. And I guess that's a really different position to be in. You know, you don't want the 50 clients who've all got that plugin that went rogue overnight, all phoning you.
Especially if it's one that's on every site.
Exactly. Know, like, that's exactly
like a Yoast store or something like that is used universally.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's really interesting. So the where you are, you know, what you're doing matters in that sense. You're joined, Cameron, by Rob Cairns. He says he doesn't like auto updates for this reason. I don't know if he doesn't like me or something. He's got Nathan at the end of that sentence. What's going on, Rob?
He was responding to your comment.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm pulling his leg. Cameron, auto updates are not worth the risk, in my opinion. Okay, well, I would definitely be switching it on. I think if it proves to be a good technology that's reliable and there's lots of metrics. I think at the minute they're testing it on, I think it was like 6,500 sites or something is what they're planning to roll it out on. I can't remember. Anyway, the article was called Merge Proposal, Rollback Auto Update. So you can go and check that out. Now,
to be fair, Nathan, this is coming from Andy, and he does have a track record of being very strict about quality. So if he says it's good to go, I'll blindly thrust that.
I thought you were going to say
Andy's a genius. I'm on board with anything he rolls out to.
Okay, good. That's nice. I thought you were going to say he's got a track record of breaking plugins or something.
No, quite
exactly the opposite. Okay, so watch this space. Make.wordpress.org. Go and check it out over there. Maybe even give your ideas in the comments. Now, it may have, like, I don't know if you've got this subliminal message from somewhere that there's a summit coming up soon. It's called the Page Builder Summit. I don't know. It's in the air or something. There it is. It's coming up really soon. And so I'm just doing a quick bit of promotion for that. If you are into kind of page builders and building your websites with tools, perhaps, rather than code as your first approach, it's back. It's on the 20th to the 24th of May. And if you want to be a part of it, you can show up for free. It's free for 48 hours after a presentation drops. We make it available for 48 hours. And if you want to find out about who's speaking and when they're speaking and the schedule and all that kind of thing, click that little button, stick your name and email in, and we'll keep you updated. But stick it in your diary, 20th to the 24th of May this year. And if you're interested in sponsoring that event, we've got a few of the sponsor packages, and you can click on that little link down there, find out more, and we'll let you know. But quite exciting. It's the biggest one that we've done in terms of speaker numbers. We've got over 40. I think we've got like in the top 30s in the past, but this time we've managed to get over the top of 40. So it'll be a nice event, packed week. So there you go. Right. Anybody got anything to say about that? Just say no, by the way, and I can move on and not feel quite so icky. Okay. This is a nice event. I can talk about other people's events confidently because it feels less weird. This is the WordPress Accessibility Day 2024. It's still a long way off. It's the 9th to the 10th of October, live streaming for free. And I'm pretty sure that this isn't the page I wanted to show. I'm pretty sure, was it the call for speakers? I can't really remember.
Yep.
Thank you, whoever just said, yeah. The call for speakers has come out. So if accessibility is a thing that you are knowledgeable about or would like to speak about something, at that event, then head over here. It's 2024.wpaccessibility.day and click on the call for speakers link. It says it's open to anybody who wants to share information about how WordPress and accessibility intersect. Never spoken before. That's fine. Don't hesitate to submit your first talk today. And then there's a list of all of the different bits and pieces that they are looking for. It's all there on that website. I will crack on, unless you guys have got something you want to drop in there.
Let's just make sure that we spread the word and that we get as many people as we can apply to speak and then attend the event in October.
Yeah, nice. Just, indeed.
It's super important to the future of the web, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff coming down from the W3C in terms of accessibility, all of this kind of stuff. We talked last week about, instead of you deciding whether to toggle light or dark mode, how about the browser kind of just locks that in for you, and you sort of instruct the browser, okay, this site always show me in dark and show me in light. Anyway, there's just loads going on in the accessibility space. And here's another event, this time in a country far, far away from here where Cameron is. Now, Cameron, this is a serious question. I hope it doesn't come out the wrong way, but from conversations that I've had with people, it seems like the WordPress community, live event community, you know, showing up in the same building at the same time, kind of collapsed, like properly collapsed because of COVID. We had a similar experience in the UK, but we now have things afoot bringing it back to life. But I've not seen anything in Australia yet. Is this the first inkling of the community coming back?
This is the first WordCamp since 2019.
Wow.
In the country.
Yep. Yep. And it is going to be happening from the 2nd to the 3rd of November. Yeah. As soon as I say that, I think, gosh, it'll be cold. But that's not how it's working over there. But here it is. It's going to be happening in Sydney. But I don't know. It looks like the call for speakers has a link. I don't know if they're actually looking for those things. Let's have a little quick look.
Call for speakers. They're looking for sponsors and speakers.
Okay. Call for speakers, call for sponsors right now. You get your foot right in the door at the beginning. You've got to imagine especially if you're a sponsor, you've got to imagine that the interest in this event is going to be as high as any for a long time in Australia. All the WordPress community kind of desperate to get in the building at the same time and yeah, be kind of a scrum at the door. Fascinating. You going to go, Cameron?
Maybe. We'll have
Maybe.
To see.
We'll see. But like okay, to, there you but... go. Okay. There it is, though. WordCamp Sydney 2024, happening from the 2nd to the 3rd. The URL is sydney.wordcamp.org. You can go and check it out. I would love to be there. Speaking of WordCamps, I thought I'd mention this. Over at WordCamp Asia, I remember when WordPress TV took, like, forever to get videos out. And I don't know if this is because it's YouTube or not. I don't know what's going on. But quite surprised in a short amount of time, all the videos for WordCamp Asia, which was not that long ago, they're all here on YouTube. Now,
haven't they also been posted to WordPress TV?
I would have thought so. I just found them here on this one link. And when I see them on WordPress.tv, I don't kind of get that same, you know, I can't see them in such an easy to manage scrolly way. And I just thought I'd mention this. So anyway, the point being, they're out and they're available to watch. So if there was something that you missed when you were there, or you had an inclination that you wanted to go but didn't quite manage to make it, but you want to see some of those events, they spread every kind of subject. There's loads of them. Let's just have a look. I think there's 46. So that's pretty big. That's almost as big as the Page Builder Summit. I don't even know.
Yeah, so I know that I don't want to put you in a bad position, but I'm super proud of the team working on WordPress TV because they're doing amazing work with a very small team. So I sent a little link in our private chat.
Nice.
To sort of tell that you're wrong about not having that nice overview for
WordPress. Oh, perfect. Isn't it? Great. Now, my only problem is this platform has got JavaScript, like all sorts of things disabled. Can I just read it out so that everybody, and then I'll put it in the show notes. But I'm delighted to be wrong about that. That's great. Let me just find it. So if you go to wordpress.tv/event, I'm reading the right one, aren't I? /WordCamp-Asia-2024. They're all there. And in an easy... wonder why they're putting them on YouTube then. I wonder if there's just some sort of great SEO benefit or if people sort of stumble across things more.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Audience.
Yeah.
Much more accessible.
Yeah. I find that I've got a few Google accounts, but if I'm on the account which is tuned in with my WordPress habits, so I only kind of like, you know, look at WordPressy stuff, it is phenomenally good at finding things that I really want to watch. It's scarily good. But because, you know, if it's my regular account, it's just showing me all sorts of random stuff. But if I'm on my WordPressy account, it's just one after another. I could sit there all day. It's a bit sad, really. But anyway, they're there, and I will make sure to put the non-YouTube links into the show notes. Presumably, Taco, the content is absolutely identical, right? What we're seeing on YouTube is the exact same video. Yep. Okay. So in terms of content, there's not necessarily any benefit in going one over the other. But okay, thank you for helping me out with that. Anything anybody wants to add? Shall we crack on? Okay. Now, James Giroux, what can I say? Love your content, but we're all having a bit of a problem with the website today. I hope he's watching. So I'm stuck in French. I looked at this piece, which I'm going to be able to tell you about because I've got it open in another tab. And there it is. My French is so bad. I can't even tell you what the title translates to. But if you go to James Giroux, so James, JIROUX.ca, this article, and I don't know if it's translated through Google Translate. I don't know if this is the authentic title name. When the phrase, suppose a positive intention, is lost in translation. But I can only show you the, Well, that's not true. I was going to say I can only show you the French version. No, I can't. I can show you the Spanish version. You want to see that for a bit? There you go. Look at the work.
Go Japanese. I want to see it in Japanese.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you can do the Japanese. Here we go. Nice.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I'll keep it like that, I think. No, but if I select the English... Oh, please work now. No, unfortunately, the English... And we're all having the same problem, James. So I hope that you managed to get whatever, you know, little gremlin in the system is there. But the article that you wrote was absolutely fabulous. So I will... Well, actually, let's take that off the screen because it's helped us in that way. But I've got the article translated into English over here. And a few bits and pieces that went on this week. The first one, which... This article by James is a way in. There was a tweet which came from, and I apologize about the butchering of your name, Ari Statopoulos.
Yeah.
Was that a half decent approximation?
That was a half decent approximation.
Oh great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
More
okay.
than half,
yeah.
I'd Ooh. Say.
Yeah. I'm going to get a cape and write, you know.
I can pronounce one Greek name.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do that. So Ari has been a contributor, a titan by all accounts, you know, like a real force in the WordPress space for years and years and years. And this tweet came up and it said, I give up. I can no longer contribute to Gutenberg. I can't understand our code anymore. At this stage, it's alien to me. And it keeps getting more and more complex instead of similar. I'm wasting too much time trying to understand what we do. And this kind of opened a bit of a tidal wave and it went in every direction, really. A lot of people really sympathetic and reaching out and just saying, just explain where it's going wrong. You know, variations of that theme, like tell me what you're thinking and we'll try to figure it out. And then some other people then obviously sort of jumped on the bandwagon and took this as an opportunity to just open the can of worms, which is let's jump on Gutenberg and, it, you know, get our frustrations about that out. But firstly, as to the issue of somebody so, and I'm going to use air quotes, but I maybe shouldn't, important to the WordPress project, feeling that they're at the point of giving up, that seems a bit sad. I don't really have any other word to describe it, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just throw this one at Marcus or Taco or Cameron, see if they've got anything to say. Do you have any intuitions around this?
So Ari is a former colleague at Yoast, and he is a very, very skilled developer. So seeing that tweet coming from him, I'm very happy that it raised all those alarm bells it did, because I do think that if he's unable to keep up, then a lot of people who would be willing to contribute, are probably unable to keep up and will then probably also step out, but quietly, which might be problematic for WordPress and Gutenberg in the long run.
So you knew Ari, and you've obviously got more than an intuition. You've got an understanding of what he's capable of. Is your feeling that he was on the, how to describe, and again, I don't know how I'm going to summon the words up for this, but was he on the more expert level of the project in terms of his capability to understand something like Gutenberg? If, you know, if you were going to put 100 people in a room and say, okay, get to grips with code, Ari's like a really credible
person. Your top five.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. And so what you're saying there is if somebody as credible and as capable as Ari has had enough, then really that's alarm bells, because yeah. Imagine all the people who are, well, I don't know, who come along, would like to give it a bash, and then just are confronted by a tidal wave of something that they really truly can't understand, and then just quit, like you said, quietly. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the concern that quite a few people had, and that was part of James's post here. Now, the day that James wrote this, I actually don't know if it's got a date on it. Oh, yeah, it has. It's 24th of April, so this is 5 days now. And apparently at that point, I don't know many tweets that get this many views. 86,000 times it had been viewed 5 days ago. And I don't know my way around Twitter well enough to know what it would be now, but I'm going to assume it's north of that.
Yep. Currently 87.8.
Okay. So it's not trending in quite the way that it was, but nevertheless, that's a lot of people eyeballs on this. And okay, I'll throw it open to Cameron and Marcus, maybe just develop Taco's idea of, yeah, what do you think? You know, is it a sad state of affairs? Is it a wake-up call? Is it just the frustration of one individual and we can all move on?
Yeah, I mean, I have never really felt like the developer experience for the Gutenberg project has been very good, even right back at the start. Like, I tried, I was involved in some initial alpha testing of Gutenberg before it was even announced and anyone knew what it was. So I was very excited for it initially. This is like back in maybe 2016, maybe 2015. It was a long time ago. And then it was announced and I was very excited and, you know, tried to make blocks. And as soon as you managed to get something to work, the next update would just break everything. And so after 2 or 3 weeks of that, I just completely gave up and I barely make a native block now. So, yeah, the developer experience has never really been great, especially for, like traditional PHP WordPress developers, and even like, React developers. I worked with a like React specialist developer on a project once and he said, this is the most bastardized version of React I've ever seen. So it's, and the, you know, there's been issues with documentation. Like it's certainly improved. The documentation team have done a lot of work putting together tutorials and stuff, but you also don't have like those auto-generated, like codex articles that all the PHP functions have, like that, those, like articles on WordPress.org for all the PHP functions are generated automatically from the code. We don't have anything like that for any of the JavaScript. And so, yeah, like I've been saying for years that, you know, the technical implementation of Gutenberg has been flawed. And like, you know, mostly it's just been me screaming out into the void on a blog or Twitter or whatever. And, you know, I don't necessarily expect, you know, Matt Mullenweg to turn around and, you know, say, you know, ask me to tell him what all the problems are so that he can fix them. You know, I'm just, you know, one person. And I also see, like, even back from the start, that there were people who were a lot smarter and a lot more influential than me saying the same things, and those things weren't getting addressed. So, you know, maybe with, you know, someone like Ari saying this sort of thing, then, you know, more attention will be paid to certain bits of it, you know, if technology is never going to be perfect, there's never a finished website. There's never, you know, code's never finished. And like we've seen what it's like trying to get, accessibility concerns addressed. Like it improves, but you know, I don't think anyone would ever expect at this point to have a fully accessible block editor. It's just not going to happen because like we've seen how hard the accessibility advocates have pushed, and I'm not sure it's improved a great deal. Like, you know, and I'm just speaking from my experience, like, you know, using tabs and arrows just to navigate around and finding it going all over the place, and let alone using a screen reader. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, you know, someone with Ari's standing and reputation in the community might, you know, bring forth some change. But you know,
I think it's
hopefully optimistic. It is very telling that, you know, if someone like him is saying this sort of thing, because a lot of the, you know, concerns that people have raised have been, it's either, well, you should have learnt JavaScript deeply, or contribute more. So, hopefully, you know, Ari saying something like this will, you know, bring about a change of perspective in a way.
Yeah. Okay. It's maybe something that has lit the, what's the phrase, lit the blue touch paper or something like that, sets off a firework anyway. Certainly a lot of people seem to be chiming in. And certainly from what the intuition that I had, I don't know Ari But from what Taco has said, definitely a really credible person to listen to when they speak about these kind of things. Okay, so that's a sad bit of news. Marcus, anything you wanted to add before we move on?
I'm not a developer, at least not to the level of, you know, contributing to core and that kind of thing. I think what's interesting to me is I spent a few days last week at a non-WordPress conference, which is rare for me. Most of the things that I go to are WordPress related, but, you know, I wanted to kind of go see one of the other communities and see what they have going on. I think once you step away from WordPress, you very quickly end up in React, Next.js, Astroland, and all of those. And so what I find interesting is as WordPress has adopted some of those things like React, that it's not this tiny little one-off project that we, you know, I guess have sort of taken in whatever direction we felt like made sense for WordPress. It's a huge community, which also has, like, we have the WordPress way. There's also the React way and the Next.js way. Like, it would seem to me that if we're building these things the way that the JavaScript frameworks have laid out, that anyone who's into using one of those, I presume Ari is very familiar, very comfortable with the way that those JavaScript frameworks work, you know, should be able to step in and jump right in and continue contributing and developing. And if that's not the case, then, you know, I guess the question for me is why we decided to go in kind of a different direction than the rest of the folks that are developing with those technologies. And hopefully Ari speaking up will have some kind of an impact on, like, let's take a step back and see what we're doing and get the back on track so that we can invite the greatest number of contributors possible.
Kind of interesting as well that it's not a, you know, I've got other things on my mind. My work's moved on. I've got a different take. It definitely is a, oh gosh, comment, isn't it? It's like a, you know, it starts with, I give up. It is definitely a call for help in a way, not help, but, you know, like alerting people that this is going on. So lots and lots of people chimed in. Let's see how that story develops. Maybe more documentation is the answer. Maybe, yeah, like you said, going and seeing what projects elsewhere are doing. I certainly know for my part, I reckon if I speak to 100 people, there's definitely two rival camps when it comes to Gutenberg and that whole thing. There's the I'm on board, I love it camp, and, you know, I'm implementing it. I don't tend to speak to the people who are developing the code, and then there's the people who just simply won't touch it with a barge pole. They, you know, they find it a really alien experience. I think Cameron, you were saying earlier about full site editing, and just staying away from all of that, whether you use the block editor, I don't know, but definitely divisive can be.
I think you're muted, Cameron.
Yeah, I'll use the block editor for content, but not full site editing.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, anyway, that piece by James.
Yeah. The positive thing that James highlights in his piece, though, is that a lot of the core contributors to Gutenberg chimed in and were really helpful and really trying to understand what was going on and what are the blockers that Ari is experiencing. So I'm quite hopeful that good will come from this.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in fact, that was going to be the next bit. Unfortunately, the English translation has the Twitter images where you can see the corresponding text from the people who chimed in. So there was the likes of Courtney Robertson was asking, you know, a question about what Ari had been up to. And so were a bunch of other people. But on the version that I've got on the screen, be it Japanese or what have you, for some reason, those little tweets never quite made it over, but maybe I'll just endeavor to read a couple of them around. So Riyad Benguela, I want to learn more about this. So he's replying directly to Ari. Can you expand? I want to try to understand and see what we can do to improve the situation. Damon Cook, sorry to hear this. You've done some amazing work and pushed a lot forward. I'd be curious to hear more about your observations. Feel free to hit me up. And various others, Courtney, like I said, contributing as well. And actually, the piece by James is not about this story. The piece by James is about how we communicate and be supportive and be positive and all of those kind of things. But I thought it was a nice way to dig into this particular subject. So anyway, Ari, best of luck. My understanding is that Ari's not saying I'm out of WordPress. It's just I'm going to find other things in WordPress to be involved with, you know, maybe something that he's happier with going forward. But there we go. All right. Let me find the next little piece. And it is, oh, this is nice. Community thing. Oh, there we go. This is applications for the Kim Purcell Memorial Scholarship. If you have the inclination that you'd like to go to WordCamp US and for reasons that are known to you, you are unable to go. Maybe that's because you don't have the finances available, or whatever it may be. This scholarship exists and you can apply for it from now. It provides, if you are the recipient, it provides travel assistance for the recipient to attend, including hotel stay, travel to and from the event from your home. For the entire duration of the event, they'll put you up, they'll give you a ticket and so on and so forth. It is in commemoration of Kim Purcell, who was a contributor to WordPress Open Source, and this scholarship is in honor of her legacy. The eligibility criteria are as follows. You have to be an active contributor to WordPress projects. So I guess you know, from now probably doesn't count. You probably had to have been involved previously. A woman. You can't have attended a WordCamp US in the past, and it says here eligibility criteria requires financial assistance. So I guess there needs to be some way to demonstrate that as well. So anyway, spread the word. That's the thing. You can go and apply for that. Also, sticking with WordCamp events like WordCamp US and Sydney and so on, the only WordCamp that's taken place. Oh, I could be wrong about this. I'm putting my foot in this all the time. That's happened in the UK, Whitley Bay, which is not that far from me. It was took place last year. It was a 1-day event, everything inside of one room, one track, one everything. And it's happening again. And they're looking for speakers. The deadline is pretty soon. Oh, is it gone?
It's passed.
Oh, I missed that. This piece, I put this in my bookmark thing and I thought I'd got the week right, but I've got the week wrong. Anyway, apropos
you
of
could
that,
have applied to speak.
Yeah, it's yes. Happening though. The reason
I if you did, you'll find out this week.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Yeah. But Whitley Bay is an event. It's northeast England. Put it in your diaries. Go and Google WordCamp Whitley Bay. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Whitley Bay. I messed that up. Right. This is,
I'm actually a little bit involved with Whitley Bay because I recently signed on as their mentor for the WordCamp. So. Which is amazing because the team is quite experienced. So I don't expect a whole lot of work for me, but
you wait and see. But apparently the event was really great last year. Tim Nash, who's often on this, he was an attendee and he said it felt to him like an old school WordCamp event, you know, not one of these bigger, like WordCamp Europe and all of those where there's multiple tracks and lots of everything. He said it was great because everything was in one room and, you know, the food was in the same room. So all the speakers had to finish their sessions and then they moved the tables around and all that kind of stuff. So sounds like a nice event anyway, but it's happening again this year. Patricia's just joining us. She had to watch the replay. I love your show. Thank you very, very much. Got email today. Our call for speakers is currently open, but closed on the 5th of May. Do you know what, Jackson? I think that's maybe why I included it as well. Because I have an intuition that I got an email which said that the date was later. So maybe go and check that out. If you are interested in speaking and you're listening to this, don't trust what I just said about it ending already. I think there's a possibility that it is actually carrying on until the 5th of May, but this form definitely hasn't been updated to show Cameron's
nodding. I'll check with the team later. Yeah.
According to their Twitter, it closes on the 5th of May.
Okay, so they've obviously extended it, but never quite got to this form. So, okay, good to know. Oh, great. I feel like I averted a calamity there. That was good. All right. So I think this is probably the most interesting story from my perspective this week. I'm just going to show you the post status thing and then we'll move on to various other things. This is Michelle, who's in the comments, saying that Word WordPress.com have launched a product called Studio. And if you've ever used like a local development environment, something like Local, which I think, is that owned by WP Engine now? Who runs Local? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all nodding. Yes. Okay, WP Engine's Local. Remember, it was Flywheel for a while, and then, in fact, even before it became
Flywheel
local,
branded,
yeah, WP Engine bought Flywheel.
Yeah, and then before that, though, before Flywheel bought it, it was some other individual developer, and I can't remember what it was called, but I bought a license for it, and it was brilliant, and it is still brilliant. But basically, imagine that product, but with a few little twists and turns thrown in. So Michelle had a go, and she says that she's not a developer, but she was able to get it working in short order. I had the same experience. I downloaded it. Honestly, you just click some buttons and you're up and running with local just WordPress websites. And here we are. This is the piece. There's a video of how it all works and what have you. One of the things that I think is really interesting is that the normal development environments, you kind of launch it and you've got a button to go to like the WP admin or the front end, and you can change the PHP version and the, I don't know, you could pick Nginx or Apache or something like that. This, though, will bolt into your WordPress.com account, and with the click of a button, your local website will go over to .com. And I think it's free, right? I think that's free. But I think you get five at the minute. You get five of those sites, and they have a clock ticking. So you've got, I think, 7 days, so a week in order to play with them. And then who knows what happens? Presumably they get recycled back into the trash can, or maybe there's an option to, I don't know, extend their life over on .com. So there's that piece of the puzzle, free hosting for a period of time thrown in on the .com infrastructure. But also in the UI, now let me see if I can surface it a little bit. Here we go. There's a picture here. Sorry, dear listener, but I'm going to show something on the screen. You can click buttons in the UI and be taken directly to bits of your brand new WordPress website, which have obviously been the cause of many a discussion in this podcast. So, for example, you can click a button and go straight to the site editing experience. So it's not like you have to log in and then figure out where all that is. You can go and start to fiddle around with your styles. You can be taken into where all the patterns are stored. You can go to the navigation, the templates, the pages, and then you can do the usual things like find it in your Finder or Windows Explorer. I think there's a Windows beta version or something like that on the, or you can open it in your VS Code code editor or in the terminal or what have you. So I kind of think this is a really interesting play, in that it's making real front and center decisions about what matters in a modern WordPress site. So let's get your style sorted. Let's get your patterns set up. Let's get the navigation underway. And you just click buttons in this local environment. So you're not even in the UI of WordPress. And I just thought that, honestly, if you'd have told me this product was coming around, I wouldn't have imagined it. I would not have imagined these buttons would have been there. So I'm actually terribly excited about this. And I know Cameron isn't using it, like probably any of this stuff here with the full site editing, but I do think it's a really interesting experience. Now, I'm sure a lot of people say, but it's .com. Yeah, but it's still on your local machine and you can put it wherever you like when you're finished. And they're giving you a website for free for 7 days, five of them. And I guess maybe you can recycle those five. I don't know. I'm delighted that this product exists. I think it's really cool. Right, enough of me. Go on, tell me I'm wrong.
So I haven't played with it myself yet. I asked some colleagues earlier when preparing for the show, and they were like, yeah, it works. But compared to Local, I'm not sure if it's the game changer that will get everyone who's currently using Local to switch over. So...
yeah, I think that's a really important thing. Local has got so much traction that pulling all of your sites out of Local into this, I don't know how easy that process will be. Presumably, you could just, you know, locate it in the Finder. I don't know how you'd get the database all hooked up, and I don't know.
Me neither. But I'm curious to see where it goes.
But don't you think that, is there a bit of you that thinks the UI is fascinating? And again, I apologize if you're listening. We're just looking at the UI and there are buttons, like I said, to take you directly into what .org has been, talking about for months and months and years. How to get people excited about full site editing, how to make them understand that, styles live here and that the navigation is a thing. And it's all been terribly confusing with these non-joined up bits. And, one month it's over here and the next month it's over there. I think this is really interesting. And it wouldn't, it would be fascinating if something like this were to drop into WordPress. I don't suppose it will, but anyway, yeah, you can see I'm excited.
Or as a plugin that will bring this feature to WordPress for them.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, Taco. I don't think anybody's going to stop using what is already a totally credible tool. And if you're a WordPress, if you're developing sites locally with WordPress, I suspect the chances are you know your way around WordPress anyway. But I did wonder if the experience for a non-professional or just somebody tinkering with WordPress, wanting to give it a try and not wanting to pay for hosting, but happy to download a bit of software and click a few buttons to see what WordPress can do for you. Yeah, I just thought it was pretty neat. And I didn't see it coming. Yeah.
And we have InstaWP, we have local, there's other setups that people use. Sure, the market isn't fully saturated yet, so there's going to be an audience for this as well.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Marcus or Cameron?
It feels to me like this is a good tool for someone that's new to WordPress.
Right. Yeah.
Right. They haven't formed an opinion on using a page builder or not, or certain other plugins. They're being dumped into the native experience and, you get to kind of tinker with that and see what it looks like. I think, as far as I know, it runs Playground. So really not that much different than simply opening up Playground in a browser, other than you do get a chance to share a link with somebody else for a week, as it creates a version of this on .com and gives you a link that you can then share. So I guess in that sense, it's a little bit different. I am curious to see what, other than straight into .com, what the export options are. If you already have a host that you'd like to use instead, can you spin this up? I know it's kind of difficult to do with Playground right now. If you spin up a Playground site and then you want to move that to a host, that's not the easiest thing in the world. I imagine this is the same, unless you're going to .com, which they've obviously built in a migration path for. So honestly, great sales tool for WordPress.com to take a Playground site and get people onboarded into WordPress.com. There's no doubt in my mind. I haven't gotten a chance to play with it. There's no doubt in my mind that you can't take one of those week-long sites and turn it into a full WordPress.com account hosting plan. There'd be silly not to be honest. So I think it's partially a sales tool. I think it's partially a great tool for beginners to check out what WordPress is all about without getting deeper into the community of plugins and themes and all of that that are out there as well. I find it interesting. Like Cameron, none of the six buttons under customize here are going to do me a whole lot of good because I don't tend to use the full site editing experience. But that's not what this is intended for. I don't think this tool is intended for me, someone who's built lots of websites and has a list of plugins and a page builder that I'm already comfortable with.
Yeah. So, I think you're right. The more that I think about this, and honestly, my intuitions weren't really switched on, I don't think. I think this is a .com play, isn't it, really? It's a bit of software. You download it onto your computer, have a play, and then you literally click a button that says add a demo site. I've combined it with my WordPress.com account because I wanted to see what that did. Sure. And then you just wait a few seconds, and it really is that simple. There's no configuration or anything. It's just go, wait a bit, and it's up there in the, in the .com cloud. But it's definitely not got all the bells and whistles that the other ones have. So what you can see on the screen there is the first screen. And if you click on share, The only option at the moment is .com. There is no other option to, I don't know, combine it with some sort of SSH or something like that to get it elsewhere. It's just .com. And then the settings are also more stripped back. You've got, you know, you can edit the site name. You can copy the port that it's on. You can see the path, change the username and password of the website, but that's it. You know, you don't have all the sort of email catching and all of that kind of stuff that you find on other sites. So now that you have all spoken, I'm seeing it as a bit more of a .com thing than I had seen it as, which was a local development environment. Of course, you never have to click the share button. You can just use it as a local development environment. And these buttons on the screen, I just think that's such an interesting idea to try and get everybody involved in those bits, which I know a lot of people struggle to figure out. Michelle says, I'm not sure it's trying to get anyone to switch as much as providing for tools for those who haven't a clue already. Yeah. Okay. I think you're probably right. And, Patricia, I'm not switching from Laragon, she says. So on our panel, nobody's switching, but I certainly installed it and now I've got a WordPress logo on my desktop. So there is that, you know, but then the desktop background is just the WordPress logo. So there was no great win there. All right. I thought that was fascinating anyway. I just wanted to mention this. I have no idea how long this plugin has been out. It's probably been around for ages, but I just wanted to give a hat tip to Ryan Welcher for his advanced query loop plugin. If you want a free, fully credible way to loop through something inside the block editor, I don't know, blog posts, custom post types, showing featured images, all of that, it's there. And we were talking about Playground. I just think, boy, is Playground cool. So I know there was all this drama about this button here, if you've got a plugin and should it be there, shouldn't it be there? Well, now Ryan has decided it should for him. No, not that he didn't say it anyway, but he certainly made the decision. I want the button. And just, I mean, what era are we living in? How easy is our life? Do you remember when like trying our plugin was just fraught with friction? You just click the button. And in another browser, WordPress in Playground is installing itself. It's not on any computer anywhere else. It's not doing anything weird. It's just in my browser. If I close this window, it's gone. It's ready.
Yeah.
It's with, just
with dependencies and potentially sample content, depending on
it
what
has
Ryan
got sample content. Because if you go into cool. the if you go in here. And you click on his little query loop. I think it's this post template. No, it's probably inside the query loop. You could, I don't know, let's do, what did he say? 3 posts per page or something like that. You just, I don't know, slide it across. Did you see? Like, look at it doing its thing. And, oh, it's just, honestly, anybody who's starting WordPress now, you've got Studio to click buttons to make your site exist. Now you've got all these things to try your plugins out for free. Old curmudgeon in me. we need to introduce friction. It's too easy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so hat tip to Ryan for that.
And just a quick look at GitHub to see if I could find if this is a completely new plugin. And version 1.0.2 is about 2 years old.
Yeah, it's not new at all. I just came across it this week and just thought I'll try it. And then immediately click that Playground button. And that's honestly the first time that I've really delved into a plugin off the strength of clicking that button. And I just thought, that's not only is it smashing plugin, but what a nice thing to show on the screen with, just how easy it is to do that. And you can see I've done it multiple times. There's a whole load of different browsers. Anyway, I'm going to close those and they have now gone. They don't exist anymore. They're gone and it's saying leave. I don't want to click leave just in case I close something I didn't intend to. There's yet another one. Okay. And then if that excites you and you want to use Playground, do your own thing on your own website, for example, I came across this article, which came up this week. Ronnie Sharney is explaining how to use Playground for interactive demos, and it's all code. So we're not going to cover it, but there it is. Quick hat tip to this person, which is Leonardo or Leo Lozovic. who came on the podcast and did some episodes with me about his GraphQL. He's written a really nice article about GraphQL on the Smashing magazine. And I just thought I'd give him a bit of a hat tip. And let's move on to some presenter or co-host or host, whatever you people are, you panelists joining me, your content.
Prisoners.
People, the people with me on the screen. And this one coming from Yoast is obviously coming from Marcus Bennett, because his name's Cameron. no, this is from Taco. Tell me about this. Please explain. Yeah. And honestly, whilst you're at it, can you just clear up the whole WooCommerce Woo thing for us so that we know what went wrong there, please?
Well, let's start with the last thing first.
Okay.
But I'll do the dummy summary because that's about my level. They made the decision to go from WooCommerce.com to Woo.com whilst also rebranding some of their stuff. That led to a slight loss of visibility in search engines. And they attracted some smart people and now reverted it. And it looks like they're more visible than ever with WooCommerce.com. So in the end, it turned out fine.
What? We should all switch our brand back, is what you're telling me.
That's not the story that we should have.
Yeah.
It should be a calamity, but that's great news.
I think the key there is to hire SEO experts when you're making a switch.
I did wonder, and I'm not going to get you to say anything, but I did wonder who the SEO experts were, because they were just labeled as SEO experts, but nobody was mentioned. So I'll just leave that hanging, is all I'm going to say.
That's fine. We can leave it at that.
Okay, so, wow, off the back of that expert advice, they've actually, maybe they've improved their SEO over time. Okay, but a big part of that was to do with this update on Google in March. Now, honestly, I don't follow the Google news at all, but by all accounts, every anecdotal thing that I've read is that it was a big deal. It was like a fairly seismic change. Yep. Okay, you've got a piece on Yoast.com called Surviving the March 2024 Google Core Update. Give us the top level items. What's going on?
So Google regularly does big updates where they introduce new things or focus on a specific problem. And they started the rollout of quite a big update on March 5th. And that was aimed at getting rid of low quality results in their search results. So AI generated non-informational websites that do not add any value to the web whatsoever, basically. And that update has been rolling out for a very long time. Now, this article was published 4 days ago. But in the meantime, we already have a new update, and that is that the rollout finished. Which means that we can start doing postmortems now to see what really changed. But according to Google's own accounts, they aimed for a 40% improvement of the search results, and they managed to get around 45. But it will take some time for SEOs to really dive into this and see what the effects were. But it's been a very long rollout for a sort of regular update from Google, and a lot of sites were affected. So if you're managing a website, do check your analytics, do dive in to see what happened to your website, because things may have changed for you in the past couple of weeks.
Was the update, broadly speaking, I mean, I'm sure that there'll be other things in it, but was there a big focus on the whole AI thing then? Was that a large part of it?
Well, it was focusing on non-helpful content.
Right.
Which by default, AI generated content is, if you just go to ChatGPT and say, write me an article about
without
a real decent prompt and original ideas and yada yada.
Yeah.
So yes, as part of its target.
Okay. I have to say, my intuition would be that Google would have to do this at some point. You know, the whole AI thing does seem like a bit of a puzzle, put it that way. You know, you can't just flood the landscape with 15,000 word articles that took 4 seconds to create and forever that be the way it's going to be. But equally, I'm so confused as to how Google even knows, because when I read these things, I know there's some tells in there. You know, you read the text and there's, I don't know, there's a load of fantastic language that no human actually uses. But still, as it gets better and better, I do think Google's job is going to become harder and harder. And I do feel a little bit sorry for companies who kind of got beguiled by it and just threw their marketing teams under a bus and just decided to go all in with AI and now are paying the price. Well, I don't feel sorry, but you know what I mean. I feel that, you know, anyway. Yeah, okay, so this article is helping.
Human writers would be valuable.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Maybe more so than ever. So Yoast.com, surviving the March 2024 Google core update. So this is your, this is the beginning of your post-mortem piece, trying to figure out what was going on. And
well, this is what you should be looking for to see if you were affected.
Yeah.
And it will be updated soon to reflect what we learned post-mortem.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. And we're nearly out of time. I think, to be honest with you, I don't really want to go into this. I was going to do the AI image generation, but now that we've had a chat with Taco about AI content, but this is, just very briefly, if you've got a bunch of Adobe products, they've got this Firefly 3 AI image generation in Photoshop. I don't own Photoshop, but I watched a couple of videos and I just kind of felt like giving up, frankly. It was like, what the heck? We're not needed anymore. the AI images, they're getting so good. So there we go. I've had to miss a few bits and pieces out. There'll be extra links inside the show notes that I didn't get to today. But thank you for joining us. Thank you to Taco down there. Thank you to Cameron, who's really... go to bed, Cameron, is my advice now. Go to bed. In fact, don't delay. Off you go. We'll understand. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And over there, it's Marcus Burnett. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to anybody who made a comment. Really appreciate it. We'll put this episode out tomorrow morning, about 7 o'clock UK time. For reasons nobody, including me, fully understand, 7 o'clock in the morning. But there you go. That's what I decided to do, and that's what I've done. But we'll be back next week. We'll have 3 other guests. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, no, wait.
Wave.
What the heck? I didn't do the wavy hand thing.
Oh, honestly, I'd never have forgiven myself. So we must do that before we go. So
you would have just used Photoshop to AI your hands in.
Give me your hands. Photoshop thing. There we go. Cameron's refusing. No, he's not. There we go. Perfect. What a silly gimmick that is. Right. And on that bombshell, we will be back next week. Take it easy. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.